are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound. Start the season off with the freshest Cleveland Browns gear. Visit the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. It's time to bark! Dog Pound. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here. Don't forget, tonight at 7 p.m. on the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank Radio Network, we will have the Mike Pettine Show. I'll be joined by Ken Carmen and the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine, along with running back Ben Tate. So you want to check that out at 7 p.m. tonight. All right, we are going back to the Ohio Business Machines hotline to bring in Terry Pluto from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Hello, guys.
How are you doing? We're going to start off with the topic of the day, or the question of the day, since Mike Pettine has said he will be naming his starting quarterback or deciding on it today. I don't know if we'll get to hear about it today. I'll find out later on the Mike Pettine Show, because I'm certainly going to ask him. But who would you start for the Browns at quarterback against Washington on Monday night?
Probably Hoyer. I'd probably just do the same thing, you know, split it up and all that. Apparently, it sounds like he's going to play the starters the first half, and I guess Washington is also. So, yeah, I just divide it up that way. I don't think it's a huge deal. You know, I realize we're just so anxious to have something really meaningful in all these preseasons and whatever. But if they continue to have let the guys play with your starters, and your starters certainly need to play a lot more than they did in Detroit, just divide it up however you want.
Terry, what's your take on the competition? I know you've been out to camp multiple times, and you talk with different people, not just your own perspective, but others. Where are you on this whole thing right now?
You know, I've sort of been in the Hoyer camp from the beginning, just because from a personal thing, it's a philosophical position of, unless a rookie quarterback's extraordinary, I'd rather him not start the beginning of the season. And it always sounded to me that the Browns were in that same type of camp. But I, you know, clearly they're excited by some of the things they see with Manziel. I can't imagine that they're particularly alarmed with what they're seeing from Hoyer, because I haven't seen anything alarming. So I think in the end that's what they're going to do. I always ask myself, if I'm sitting in that guy's shoes, you know, I'm Mike Pettine, I'm going into Pittsburgh, where am I going to go with this? You know, I may like Terrence West, but Ben Tate's going to start because he hasn't done anything to look bad, and Brian Hoyer's going to start. And then I know there's plenty of time and plenty of snaps and plenty of games to change all that.
So do you, in your mind, it's not really a competition?
I don't think so. I said he would have to just be extraordinary. And I don't think anybody would say Johnny was extraordinary.
Why?
Except maybe those who tweet me and say I should retire for saying things like that. Seriously, some of the ugliest tweets and things I've gotten in years, by the way, is over this stuff.
Interesting.
Well done. Way to go.
Why? What about, so you say you don't want to start a rookie. Is it the fact that Brian Hoyer started four career games in his tenure
and
that makes him seem so
the
different
whole thing
to you?
He knows what 16 games is like. You know, you've just been, he's been watching tape of these teams, guys, for years, has he not, that they play? He's in the NFL 6 years. He watches just as much tape as the starting quarterback, because you know how Hoyer is.
Sure.
He's gone through all that. He's going to see NFL formations that are not going to surprise him as much as the other guy. And when you're the backup, hopefully you start to do the same thing your starter's doing. You know, Hoyer gave a long time mentioned how influential Brady was in teaching preparation and everything. And I think that's very useful, because the things you see you guys are more football people than I am. Every time we're on the show, I say this, but this is why it should, to me, this strikes me as elementary. With the defenses now are not what you're going to see when they're playing, when the score counts. And that is the thing that confuses young quarterbacks.
Yes. And that's a factor in all of this, is that you can't, in evaluating these players, you almost have to keep things at the most fundamental level.
Mm-hmm. You either like how he's kind of throwing the ball, or you don't. To me, it was encouraging to see how, for example, Hoyer moved when he rolled out. I was looking at stuff like that. How's he dealing with the knee brace? How's he moving? How does his arm strength look? You know, it looked pretty good. When he missed, he overthrew. It wasn't like he threw a flutter ball. You know, Johnny just about scared me to death on that first run. And it's like, that's just asking to have a separated shoulder. And thankfully, after that, he didn't do any more of those things. But I was pleased when Johnny stood in the pocket a couple times and made some nice throws. You know, the rest is so hard to judge because of who you're playing, who's playing with you. And most quarterbacks also will tell you that three or four series, you're just starting to get the blood flowing, and they take you out.
Right. And I think, you know, therein is the issue here. It's been a tight timetable. If there's any reason not to go with Johnny Manziel as the starter on opening day, the only one that makes sense to me is the timeline. Mm-hmm. Is you just don't have enough time to get him to get pretty much any rookie prepped. But I think one who especially has not come from a program where he's really been conditioned to handle the type of NFL offense that he's handling now, the longer verbiage and everything else that goes with it. It was a much simpler system at Texas A&M. That doesn't mean that quarterbacks from simpler systems haven't thrived, and you can make the RG3 argument in Washington as a rookie. But I think to some degree, what we'd be looking at here is, well, you put Manziel in to let his instincts and ad-libbing just take over for you, and that will give you a better chance than, as you say, the sounder point of the guy who has seen it, at least from a film-watching standpoint, maybe hasn't played a lot of games, but certainly has a better comprehension and understanding of what he's looking at.
I'll just ask you this, Vic. Your first year, you started doing radio with all the technology stuff, and then your third year.
Yeah, it's a different world. No, you're right. It's a whole different
and
world.
And that's exactly the point you're making. From A&M, where they just kind of handed you the sheet of plays for the week, to all this stuff, which is complicated even by some NFL standards, by the way, you know, some of the stuff Shanahan does. Now, when you're an extraordinary physical specimen as an athlete, whether it's quickness like RG3 or just like Andrew Luck, you know, then it's you can leap over some of that. And also, I mean, nobody was saying Johnny should be in the top 2, 3, 4, 5 of the draft, I don't think, other than his most ardent fans. Whereas these quarterbacks that otherwise we were talking about, the elite ones, you know, the Manning brothers and so on, it was just a question, do you take them 1 or you take them 2 or you take them 3, you know. I guess that's the thing. You know, yes, talent can fast forward you over some of these other hurdles, but, you know, Johnny is not extremely talented. He's got to make it work on his own way and that kind of stuff.
What else are you looking forward to in this game?
I just want to see if somebody will catch the ball. I'm serious. You know, where you start going, wow, that guy's got a chance to be an average, above-average NFL receiver, you know, beyond the Cameron Gordon group, okay? And then I also want to see, I hope that second-string line looks a little better. That was not real good. I want to see the defense continue to just hit people hard, some fun looks. There was one formation where it looked to me like Desmond Bryan was the only down lineman, and I know Pettine's saving the gold standard stuff for the real season, but just to see them move around, and I want to see, you know, Mingo got a sack. I want to see him continue to do well, and, you know, I think we've all been excited by Bryant, Armani Bryant. So some of those guys have taken steps up, because the defense is exciting. You know, that's the flip side of what we're talking about.
Terry Pluto joins us, by the way, on the Ohio Business Machines hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You mentioned something earlier about the social media response regarding Johnny Manziel, and that it's maybe had a lot more vitriol or negativity than you've experienced. And you've written about a lot of controversial stuff in your long tenure here in Northeast Ohio as a journalist. So I want your take on the whole big picture of Manziel mania and how you see it playing out. Because even if your instincts are right that it should be Hoyer at the beginning, is it an extraordinarily difficult problem to have Manziel as the other guy not playing? Is that going to bring more pressure to bear on this entire franchise, because almost everything that's driving the interest, most of what's driving the interest in this team right now, is, we know, is driven by one guy?
And the fact is, it's celebrity driven. In other words, I've watched this with different franchises. When LeBron is here, the Cavs are hot, all that. It's the celebrity of LeBron. Of course, LeBron is a great player, but in other words, they're following the Cavs. When LeBron left, then you're back to the basketball fans. Now, with the Browns, they have obviously a bigger fan base, but Manziel has brought in people from all over the country who basically have been calling me an idiot, and, you know, how could I not see how great Johnny was in the first preseason game? I have to admit, I just sat there and said, wow, this is a different animal here. And I've been called names before and everything else. We all have.
Right.
But for you know, just saying that he was up and down at some points in the game is not exactly, you know, a rife vitriol criticism of somebody.
Fair.
And saying the first line, and it was a rookie, and it's his first game, and that's what's going to happen. It's like they're out of touch with reality. Now, your point, though, if Brian starts and doesn't play particularly well, and that could certainly be the case in his first few games, because I'm worried whoever the quarterback is, how much help is he going to get out there if they don't have Gordon?
It's true. Do you think there is some credence to the theory that has been espoused by quite a few that if you don't have Josh Gordon, you almost need a quarterback who can create offense by himself in the way that Johnny can, and that he is not traditional and just a pocket passer?
Well, you hope that, but unfortunately then you might have Johnny feel, I got to go take on some more linebackers again.
I don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah, no. Really. That's the other part. There's a debate either way. Here's the thing, is that whenever you go to Johnny, you're going to Johnny. That's it.
Yes.
I mean, that's a burn the lifeboats one. You know, we got off the ship, we went to the island, we're burning the boats. And we're staying there until whatever happens. You know, basically physically he can't play again. And you hope that doesn't happen. But, I wrote today, in three of the last 4 years, the Browns have started three different quarterbacks.
Yeah. We're visiting with Terry Pluto. Wow, that's so depressing, I guess.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, I guess that's my thing, is whether Johnny starts game one or what, he's probably going to start.
Yeah. No, yeah. No, yeah, no. Right, eventually, and then it's a question of sooner rather than later. We'll see.
And frankly, if Johnny does start game one, guess what? There'll probably be a point where Hoyer starts. And I'm not wishing ill. I'm just, this is reality in the NFL for most teams. Not all, but most. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got hurt last year.
Terry, great. We thank you for taking the time to join us. And I'm sure
you shouldn't have sent me that tweet, Vic, about retiring. I know it was you.
Yes, it probably was. But you know what? I'd be right behind you, brother.
Yeah, that's right.
We've been at this about the same amount of time. So, but no, please don't retire. Terry, thank you.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. Terry Pluto from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Find columnist there. Always enjoy his insights. We've got more coming up. We want to hear from you at 216-578-0850. We're going to play a little Factor Fiction. We're going to get into your tweets at Browns_Daily, at Nathan Zagura, at Vic Carucci. Stick around for much, much, much more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.